listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all points east. Coming to you from my Santa Monica apartment. It's The Bob Dean Show. Yay! Glad to be back again this week. Thank you, Sam. And let's see, what else is going on? Everything's groovy. It's been real slow in the retail and restaurant end, as it is in Southern California, from the 4th of July until the second week of September. And so we're expecting business to pick back up. I work at the Mosaic. My rent-paying job, I should rephrase, is at the Mosaic Hotel at 125 South Spaulding in Beverly Hills. It's a groovy little boutique hotel. I run the small bar there, and it's really fun. So get your asses over to see me. And the weather, we know our weather was super hot. We'll talk about that maybe a little later. But guess who's back today? Michael Sandoval.
Hey, how you doing, Mike, Bob?
Hi, buddy. You look freaking awesome. Back. I'm loving that hair, man.
I'm loving it too, man. I love it.
You're wearing your sporty, you call it. You look swank.
Well, it's hot here in Thailand, so you know I got to stay cool. I got to stay cool somehow. So how you doing, Bob? Great to be back in Santa Monica.
Huh?
I said it feels great to be back in Santa Monica.
Yeah, guess what you've been missing? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Now, Mikey, ladies and gentlemen, is BKK1Radio.com. Michael's show is what, Tuesdays?
Tuesdays at 2 p.m., and that's Thailand time. So that would be Mondays at 11 p.m. L.A. time.
I've tuned in a couple of times, and it's a fun show.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I'm having a blast doing classic rock and crazy talk, and I never know what I'm going to talk about. And that's the great thing about this radio show is I get to play music, and then I get to talk about stuff, and it's great. I love it.
Awesome. And as I say every time, I live vicariously through you on social media, and I'm so damn. I want to say something sarcastic, like I hate your guts for having such a sweet life right now, but I don't. I'm just so happy for you, and you know who knows, maybe someday we'll be joining you over there.
You gotta come out for a vacation. I'm telling you, it's one of the number one vacation destinations in the world. So you definitely gonna come out and have a great time.
Guests at the hotel who are vacationing there in the weeks to come, and what it's been is, you know, the hotel where I work is a boutique hotel, small place. We're like family, and I'm the only bartender, or have been. So I've been, we finally got another young man that's going to come in so I can get a little time off here and there. But the whole point about it is for the last like 6 months, I've been working almost 7 days a week. So that's changing now. So now maybe I can, you know, get a plan together since I'll have somebody to cover. But at the same time, man, I'm suffering. I'm old and I'm falling apart, dude.
You got to retire, Bob. It's time. You got to retire, Bob.
My retirement was my house in Tennessee, you know, and I know it's been 15 years, but I never, recovered from that. Or so I don't know what I mean, but that's the whole thing about it, though. It's Thailand. I could retire and, you know, live a great life.
You can. I mean, that's the thing. And it's not just Thailand. There are places where you can retire and live a really comfortable life. I had no idea. You know, I was really nervous about my retirement, and I thought I was going to keep working, and then I was going to retire, and then keep working, even retire. That's what I thought my retirement was going to be. And then I just said, you know what, I can just move to Thailand, or, you know, there's other countries, but I can move abroad, and just, like, why not?
Because seriously, I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating when I say I'll be so happy with just a beach, a pool at the apartment and a beach. And I am going to slather myself up with iodine and baby oil. I don't give a damn about skin cancer. You know, I already have a couple little patches from driving a convertible for 40 years that they just kind of zap off. But, you know, I have a theory. I've mentioned this before. I think that telling us to stay out of the sun is kind of a subliminal message. Because think about it. When you sit in the sun or you lay by the pool or you go to the beach and you're feeling that sun on you, you're so, I am so serene that my mind clears and I think clearly and I come to decisions and that sort of thing. And, you know, you look good, you feel good, and I think clearly. And that's when I step into ideas and such, keeping you out of the sun. You're just like, I guess I'll just sit and look at my phone, you know?
Does that make any sense? You know, Bob, when you talk about laying out in the sun at the beach, I got to tell you, growing up in California and, I would say most of the world, people go to the beach and they lay out on the sun, out in the sun, on the sand, right? And they go in the water. But here in Thailand, Thais don't do that. There is no laying out on the sun. And they see the Western people. You know, all the Falongs, all the white people, Europeans and Americans and whatever.
Falongs. They come,
the Falongs, right, the foreigners. They see us come and we lay out in the sun on the beach and they think we're crazy.
Why?
They think we're insane.
Because laying there?
Because we're just laying out in the hot sun. And they're like, why are you out laying in the hot sun? Because the Thais don't do that. They go to the beach at night. During the day, the beaches here are empty, except for the foreigners. But at night, that's when all the Thais come out, and it's like, it's beach time.
And the Thais come out at night. Hey.
They come out at night, and they have a party on the beach. They come out and have a party on the beach. But during the day, it's empty.
Well, you know, that's fine with me. Just more sand for me. And I mean, seriously, man, I want to get a high-end metal detector and my little wicker Asian hat, you know, and I'm going to wear the tightest Speedo I can find so my gut hangs over. And I'll be known as that weird guy that walks up and down the beach every day with my hairy back and everything. I'll be
There's a lot of them here. There's a lot of them here. You'll fit right in.
We are broadcasting live on the Bob Dean Show page on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're listening, you want to tune into that too. And
I just wanted to say, Bob, you were talking about the beach, and you know, where I live, my condo is right on the beach. So I walk out my condo and I walk through the parking lot, down the driveway, and I'm right at the beach, and I love it. Right, and I'm on the 19th floor, so I go out on my balcony and I got a great view of the beach and the countryside, and it's great. I love it. But I recently went to one of the islands here, you know, like the party islands that you see like on TV and the movies and everything, right? You know what I'm talking about? So it was like a 10-hour train. It was a 10-hour train ride for like $20. And but I got like
Party Island. I'm not familiar with that. It's like where the beautiful people and the young people hang out. And
well, yeah, you know the islands that you see on National Geographic, the big islands with the, you know, and the boating and the beautiful beaches, and it's like Thailand, you know, the vacation beaches, those really beautiful beaches. Well, I went to one of those islands, and it was a 10-hour train ride from Bangkok. So I had to go to Bangkok and then take a 10-hour train. But it was only $20, and I got the sleeper thing. Man, it was nice. It was,
you got
like
a sleeper for $20.
$20 for 10 hours, and we got on the. My girlfriend and I, we got on the train, and we got, after about an hour, it got dark. It was, you know, evening, and they made up the bed thing, and we got in. She was on the bottom. I went up on the top, and laid down and went to sleep. And woke up when we were at our destination, and then we took a ferry boat over to this island. And let me tell you, man, it was incredible. We had this bungalow on the beach, like what you're talking about. Like it was like Margaritaville.
Oh,
it was like
they had used to be in places like Florida and LA 50 years ago, 60 years ago.
Right. It was probably like Key West or something, right? It was like it was like paradise, man. I'm telling you, it was, and I'm already on the beach. Like, I'm already a beach guy. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying. But you go to one of these islands and you're on the island, and it's like the little village on the island. And then there's a bunch of hippies on the island. And the the hotels are like really cheap and they're like right on the sand. Your room is like right on the sand with a bar right there and a pool. And I mean, and I'm standing there going, I'm standing on the beach just going, I can't believe this. What I'm doing. I mean, it's amazing. You got to come, Bob. You got to come.
Oh, first of all, I'm eating a peanut butter cookie, y'all. Secondly, because they were in sight, I'm putting on some weight. Can you tell us, or is it too much of a none of my business? What is your rent?
My condo, it's like 9,000 baht, which is right. About, and it changes from day to day because of the exchange rate. But it's about $240 a month. And then with all my like electric and water, phone, I spend about 450 bucks, like, and that covers everything.
To live.
Maybe 500 bucks with food and everything.
I just got my yearly social security statement, you know, and how much I will get. I'd be able to live like a king over there, I suppose.
Well, you would. Like, I retired early, so I'm not getting my full benefits. I'm getting the minimum. And I'm just now starting to figure out how to live on that. And I'm doing pretty good. Like I'm able to pay all my bills and I'm able to travel around the country. Like I said, take a 10-hour train ride, go to an island, 6 nights on the island.
You're doing a lot of comedy too, huh?
Hey, recently I've done some comedy here, which has been great. I had a great I did a show here. Some people from Bangkok came down. Bangkok's about 2 hours from here. So some comedians from Bangkok came down here to do a show, and they contacted us through mutual friends. They contacted me and said, "Hey, you want to be on the show?" And I said, "Sure." And it went great. So then they asked me to come back. And I did a show the other night, like 2 weeks ago. And that went great. And I was really nervous, you know, because, Bob, you know, I'm from L.A. and I just do L.A. comedy, you know, to an L.A., you know, pretty much underground amateur, you know, comedy circuit. I wasn't sure how it would go over here in Thailand with an international audience. I was really nervous about, because I didn't really have any material. You know, I'm really lazy. You know, when it comes to writing comedy, I'm really lazy about it. And so, and even the jokes that I've been thinking of, I don't have any place to work them out, you know, and really work on material. There is none of that here. So I was really nervous about doing this comedy show.
Well,
and it went great. It went better than I would ever expect.
Do the audiences predominantly speak English, though? I mean, you know, or
they predominantly speak English. They're like, well, so the audiences that I had, I would say probably half were Americans. Maybe a third were Americans. And then the other two-thirds were English-speaking, like Europeans or whatever. And then a few Thais. But like the host of the show was from England. He was a black guy from England. And then one comedian was a black guy from Boston. So that made me feel good. But then the other guy was a Japanese guy. And the girl was this Russian girl. And she does comedy in Russian. And she's just now doing comedy in English. So it's kind of new for her. And she's kind of getting
it. It's like an international show.
Yeah, it's a total international city here. Like there's so many tourists and so many expats here that, you know, it's just there's everybody here. So it's a lot of fun here. But I got to tell you, When was the last time we talked? When was the last time?
The last time you were on the show. We've had a couple sentences back and forth on Facebook. But
how long ago was that I was on the show? Because I don't want to tell a story that I already told you.
Yeah, just tell it.
Okay.
I do it all the time.
I was telling you, you know, I live like in the West Hollywood of Pattaya. It's like.
Wait, now how do you say it? I keep saying Pattaya. How do you say it? Pattaya?
Well, everybody says it differently. It depends. Pattaya, Pattaya. Everybody says it differently. So anyway, so I live in an area. I live in Jomtien, which is. It's kind of like the West Hollywood. You know, there's an area where it's the gay area where all the gay clubs are. And they got the lady boys and the gay massage and on the gay clubs, nightclubs. And it's a whole little block and a half of just, it's all gay, right? And they got the lady boy show there. So my girlfriend and I, we go, she likes the lady boys. And I do too, because I'll tell you, I don't want to, you know, there's so many sexy people here in Pattaya that it's constantly looking at, there's sexy women and lady boys everywhere. And I don't want to insult my girlfriend, and I don't want to like be looking at women in front of her when we're around. But you don't know if it's a guy or a girl. There's so many ladyboys, right? So you don't know. When I first got here, I was like, I would see a sexy woman, and I was like, well, is that a woman or is that a guy? Because a lot of times it's a guy, and but now. Like, I don't care. And I prefer looking at the ladyboys because I can look at a ladyboy, see a sexy person, and not feel bad about my girlfriend. I'm like, I'm not doing anything wrong, right? I'm not, you know. Anyway, so we go to the ladyboy show because she loves the ladyboy, right? And there's a ladyboy show. I told you about the ladyboy show. So we went there.
Refresh my memory. Is it like a drag show or?
Yeah.
Okay.
They come out, they dance, and they sing, or they lip sync to music, and they do a whole show. And one dresses like Lady Gaga, and one's kind of like a Cher, and one's like a, I don't know. But you can kind of tell what's going on. But they're really flamboyant. It's really fun. It's a lot of fun. We go all the time. So we were there last time we went. So I'm sitting, there's an area where it's kind of like, it's in the club, but it's like on the balcony, kind of. You're kind of like outside where you can smoke, and then there's the inside. So my girlfriend was inside, and she's filming with her camera, and she's up near the stage, and she's filming. And I'm out in the back drinking, and I'm smoking in the back by myself. Well, her drink is there, but I'm sitting there by myself. So this guy, comes and sits down at the table over from me, right? This guy comes and sits down. He's sitting there for a while, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the show, and they got the TVs there because it's kind of, you know, so I'm watching the TVs, but I can see the stage, and I'm having a good time of drinking. I'm smoking, and he's sitting there, and I'm not even paying attention to the guy, but evidently, all of a sudden, the waitress comes over, and she's got a drink. The guy bought me a drink, like a glass of wine. And she's like, here. And she's like, here's this wine. And I take it. I'm like, I don't know what. And she goes, from him. And I look over, and the guy's sitting there, and he's smiling at me like, yeah, you know. And I was like, hey. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. Because I didn't want to be rude and say, oh, it's from him. I don't want it. You know,
hell no. Free drink, you take it.
I took it. I drank. I was like, hey, thanks, yeah, buddy. I'm like, well, thanks, buddy.
You smile and you go, thanks.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I smiled. I said, thanks. And then, so that after a few minutes, you know, he came over the table and he's like, yeah, how you doing? And he was like, and I go, I'm doing good. Thanks for the wine. I go, but you know, my girlfriend is over there. And he goes, oh, and he looked, and then he saw her, and she's got her camera, she's filming. And I go, yeah, that's my girlfriend right there. Not like, I don't know, I didn't mean like, if she wasn't here, I'd go with you, but I was just saying, my girlfriend.
Don't knock until you tried it.
You know, but no, But I'm just. But that was the first time for me. I'd never had that happen. So that was like a new experience for me, you know. But he was nice, and he was like, okay. And I was like, you know, thanks for the drink, though. Thanks for the drink. So that was my gay date.
Man, when I was young and good looking, people bought drinks for me all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I actually kind of felt good. Like, you know, my girlfriend came back to the table, and I was like, I kind of had an attitude. I was like,
You better not take me for granted, girl.
I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm been doing pretty good over here.
I don't know if I showed you this picture. I think I may have because I found it in a box, and this is me in 1983. And I don't know if you're going to be able to get a good look at it. Let's try. Okay, can you see that?
Oh yeah.
Up a little bit.
There you go. Okay. What year is that?
83.
And that's in Tennessee?
No, this is in Miami.
In Florida.
Yeah, so when I start my long-winded unclimactic stories, can you see it okay?
Yeah, I can see it, yeah.
Everybody out there, I want everybody to see it in radio land. Yeah, I was fucking hot. I was hot. And when I start off my stories with back when I used to be young and thin and tan and had all my hair, that's how I start. And people just go, eh. And I found this picture and they're like, oh my God. They're like, who is that? And I'm like, it's me.
You really were thin and
tan. And the guy in the aqua colored shirt, that was John Latimer Tate. He was my first boyfriend. And he had the looks of, he was very wealthy. He had the looks of Robert Wagner and the attitude and intelligence of Fraser Crane. He could not have been more of a fucking snob, but we got along great, you know? And my technical residence, because I was still way in the closet, was the guest house behind his home, which is a whole nother comedy of errors. Every time he traveled a lot and every time he'd leave town, something would happen. Like I got this Doberman and the Doberman chased the maid away, then chased the gardener away. And, you know, his bougainvillea that took him like 10 years to grow the vines up the side of the house. I thought it was just a weed because the gardener ran away. So I just ripped it down and just things like that. But it was pretty cool ride there. But yeah, man, I look good. But now my big thing is, I told you this, I know, but I'm really thinking about doing it, is I'm going to shave everything except the turkey neck because it's really noticeable. And I'm going to let the beard grow down the turkey neck. Like a Fu Manchu kind of turkey neck. And wouldn't that be hilarious, man? You're talking to people and it's moving around and my beard will be going, wah, 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 wah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, like a gobbler.
Yeah.
I call you the gobbler.
But well, might as well, because I, you know, you can't.
Seriously. I didn't mean it like that. Oh, no, that's funny. Hey, but you know, Bob, how long have you been doing comedy? Were you doing comedy when you were young?
I never did anything until I got with Cinda. Well, I did a little bit before when I first moved to town. And, you know, the saying, if I had chosen L.A. over Miami, I could have been a washed-up has-been by now. And the thing about it is that, you know, Mike, I have zero fear. And I know it is because I've been behind the bar for so many years. And it's just, and you know, busy nightclubs where they're three deep and that sort of thing. I have no fear, you know, and now I fear if I start to lose my concentration on where I am. But as you know, that's the importance of having the core act. So you can pull yourself back and the audience isn't going to know that you screwed up because you're just going to go on to something else. And I've got 45 minutes of solid comedy, dude.
How many minutes?
45.
Yeah, you know, the first show I did the other night that I hadn't done comedy in like 2 years, right? And I did the show the first night. They said, you know, they asked me, they said, you know, have you ever been on, you know, have you ever done comedy before? And I was like, yeah, I've done comedy, you know, in LA. So they're like, okay, you can go up and you can have like 7 to 10 minutes or something. Right. And I was like, okay, that's fine. That's perfect. Cause I figured that's about all I really have. Right. About 10 minutes. Well, I got up there and like, I missed the light. And then when I finally saw the light, I was like, okay, let me just finish up. Cause I had done everything. And I only had like, I was at the end of my bit, right? I only had like two jokes left, right? Like one story left with like two big punchlines in the story. So I was like, let me just get this out. Let me just get it all out. And I didn't realize how long I went. Now I went like over 15 minutes. Because when I got off stage, the guy goes, "You, what's up, man? You did like 15, you did like 15 minutes. And I was like, I didn't even know I could do 15. Like, I didn't even know I could do 15 minutes. But my point was, I've met some really funny people here. These two guys that I think are like really funny. They're a little older than me, and they've been doing comedy for a while. And they're from LA. The one guy's from New York, but he's lived in LA. And these guys are really, really funny. And I love hanging out with these guys and doing comedy. I was doing improv with them. I was doing improv comedy with them. And then I stopped doing that. And then, but I still hang out with these guys. And I just hanging out with them is a lot of fun. But I want to do like videos with them. And I want to do more comedy stuff with them, stuff on the radio. And, you know, every time I hang out with them, I think of you, Bob, because it's like, you know, you would fit right in. You know what I mean? Like you would fit right in, and it's just like it's a great little comedy community that's kind of forming here. So I'm really excited about. I'm really excited.
Awesome, because you know Percy Ramjan is an Indian gay comic, and his career is really solid. He does. You've heard of him, right?
The guy you're doing the show with. I knew who he was before I saw you were doing shows with him. And when I saw you on the show with him, I was like, hey, I know that guy. I don't know him, but I recognize him. I've seen him.
He opens up for all kinds of celebrities, musicians and stuff. And he does the warm up for certain shows, and he does a bunch of Disney stuff and all. And he's very funny. And his show, Percy and Friends, I'm promoting Percy. Percy and Friends, it's the third Thursday of every month at the Ha Ha Club in North Hollywood. And it's basically, it's a gay, like a gay themed show. And there's a drag, two drag queens that do, and they're hilarious. Because, you know, I got to tell you, I have a ton of friends who are drag queens, you know, at least most of them in Miami. But I love my drag queen friends. I love it when they're, you know, they're themselves and, you know, we're out drinking and having a great time. But I hate drag. I do. I don't hate it, but these actual shows are so boring to me. And I love it that they are really having fun and other people really appreciate it. But as far as just to sit there and watch somebody lip sync, you know, like 10 songs, unless it's comedy, you know.
Well, you know, what they have here, they have like the big show, like the big theater show, the big drag show.
Like it's a big production.
Like it's a Vegas type thing. Like in a big theater.
A beautiful production. Got it.
Like in a big theater, and it's a big thing like that. But then they got the little, where I'm talking about, like where we do our comedy. Because where we do the comedy is in that little gay area where all the gay clubs are. And so like the club where we do the comedy, it's like a gay club.
Well, Percy.
But we have our comedy night there that we do.
Well, that's awesome. Percy has, I think he's asked me to come every third Thursday now. So it's, you know, because I've been nailing it. And because the thing about it is that my story's about being a homosexual, you know, being a confirmed bachelor. It's a whole giant can of worms of material that I've never used, you know, because when you're doing a regular audience, I don't want to tell them about the time I picked up the guy and he took me back to his place and all he was doing was sniff. He took off his clothes and he had a wall full of brand new, a custom wall built with about 100 boxes, brand new boxes of brand new Converse high tops. and he stripped off down to his little black. He was a very handsome, handsome man. And there were, he had this, his second bedroom had a weight bench in the middle, a chair and a table in the corner, and a custom built wall with about 100 boxes of Converse. And he, and so he takes his clothes off, and I was like, hello there. And he goes into this trance, and all he does is he goes like this, and he's looking at the boxes, and then he takes out a pair, and he goes and he sits on the weight bench, like the bench, you know, bench pressing. He takes the shoes out of the box, and he starts sniffing them. He's like, and he's running these shoes all over his body, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, can I smoke in here? He's like, I don't care. So I'm smoking, and I'm drinking like a triple gin. And by the third, I think he thought it was going to be some erotic show. And by the third pair, I'm like, dude, you know, it's really late and I got a dentist appointment at 3 a.m. So, but I got a million stories like that. It was very fun, you know, when I,
well,
when
you
I
know, that, right? I think you should definitely do that. I mean, you should, because I think that's like what do you call it? The, your comedic persona on stage is the exaggerated you.
Yeah.
You know, and then you, everything that, you know, kind of like, I know this is a bad analogy, but it's like the Jeff Foxworthy or the Ron White, you know, like they have their point of view and every topic is just funneled through their point of view. And it's easy, right?
They're my favorite.
You might be a redneck, or here's your sign, or you can't fix stupid, or what, you know what I mean? It's like, because they've got that point of view. And so you just go with it. And I think you've got that great point of view. You know what I mean? Like,
you can educate
the audience.
I coined myself as I'm the only queer in town that hates fags. And usually it gets a good laugh, and sometimes people are like, ah, oh, and I'm like, lighten up, I'm just kidding, you know. But
I think one of the things that I'm really interested in now that I'm and I've done comedy two times recently, I'm trying to refocus on comedy now, and I recently read this thing about comedy. You know, you want to make the audience laugh, and you want to like do right what we think about it, like an entertaining show business, that whole thing, give them their money's worth, right, make them laugh, do all that. But then there's also the art part of it, like what we say is part of, you know, like we think it's funny, whether the audience thinks it's funny. Kind of like the extreme example would be Andy Kaufman, where he gets up there and it's like anti-comedy. It's like, I'm not going to be funny, and that's funny. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of examining, or kind of like exploring. I'm exploring that avenue where my comedy is now art. You know, like I was, you know, for instance, I got this. it's a whole suit, right? It's a whole frog suit. It's a whole frog suit. And it's a whole blow up frog suit. And I go out and I walk around in it. And people are like, whoa. And it's like, makes a whole scene. And it's a lot of fun, right? It's a lot of fun. I walk around in this big frog suit. So I was thinking about just going up on stage in the comedy in the frog suit.
I think that's great.
As a stand-up frog comedian. But then I would have to write frog jokes, right? Like if a frog was doing stand-up comedy, what would he be talking about, right?
Warts and princesses and,
you know,
flies. But
the flies and bugs.
And warts and kissing princesses and
turning warts into and princesses. And
that's really, you can do that, would be a good, you know, and going from a tadpole to a frog.
I got a lot of tadpoles at home to feed, you know? That's what I'm
That'd be
predators,
awesome.
Right? predators, you know what I mean? Birds. Don't you hate birds?
You remember that guy that did comedy? He was an English guy, and he just did it in a dress. He was straight, but he just did it in a dress. This is like 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember his name, but he was funny as shit, and he was doing a lot. But he'd just stand up there on stage like in a dress and a wig with, you know, and looking ridiculous, but he was funny as shit.
So I was thinking of doing the frog thing, but then I was like, to pull that off, though, I gotta have some jokes. And I didn't have time to write some really good frog jokes, so I just went up and did my regular bit. But I do want to do the frog thing, see, because I feel like that's like, it's not only comedy, but it's art. Like, I could get up and I could just pantomime jokes because frogs don't talk. So I wouldn't really be saying anything. I would just be
like a frog mime.
Frogamime, yeah. Like, I would be frogamiming the jokes with the microphone and then just acting like I was talking but not talking. And then I was thinking about maybe having one of those things that you blow and it like a tongue.
Yeah, like a party favor.
One of the party things I blow. Yeah, yeah. And
stand just stand there. Hilarious, man.
And just stand there and do that. Right? Just stand there. I was thinking of that. So that's the comedy scene that we got going here in Patia. Like, just I'm and videos. I want to make little videos. I want to like spoof. We got a lot of people in Patia that go around and make videos. They walk around, they film the bars and the girls and the beach and whatever, you know. And I want to parody those. I'm creating a character like these YouTubers. There's a million YouTubers here. Everybody's an influencer with their camera, and I'm trying to figure out the perfect spoof for YouTube, like a character that I can create that's like an influencer, like a parody of an influencer. So I'm really thinking like different types of comedy things here that I really never thought I would be doing.
Together, like the Mummy Babies. I said, maybe if I come over, we can do some together, like the Mummy Babies.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. That's why, like, every time I hang out with my comedy friends here, I think of Bob. I go, you know, Bob would fit right in here. You know, like, he, you know, you're funny. You got great sense of humor. And
I think the more I talk to you, the more motivated I will be. We should speak more, you know.
Like, yeah, we can collaborate on stuff.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah. Now that you're doing, you know, you're doing a stand-up more now, right? Every Thursday?
Yeah,
every
Thursday. There's a guy, Andrew, at the Comedy Store, who I've made friends with, and he's got his own show over there. And we were talking the other night, and he's really good friends with Marissa. Marissa is my friend who was on the Bob Dean Show, yay, with her friend when she broke his dick. Did you see that episode?
No, I missed that. You've
got to go back and see this episode. Marissa Hoffman and J.W. Epi, he's a very wealthy young man in Santa Monica. He's a self-made man. And, you know, he lives the life, and they're really close friends. And, you know, they see each other from time to time. And, we were laughing about it because she broke his dick during sex, you know, on top, and she fell over. And I thought that he was going to just do a little – they came on as a couple – a little chat about it, and you got to watch it. And everybody else out there in Bob Dean land, LA Talk Radio land, Facebook land, you got to go back and watch this episode, because JW, he held nothing back. He talked about everything. You know, and he went and got the therapy thing, and it looked like it's a metal thing like this, and you stick your wiener in it, and you twist it so it pulls it out straight. And he goes, I think this one was for a black dude, you know. But he talks all about it, and it was hilarious. But it was also,
well, you know. So did it like break in half, or did it break at the root, or did it break on the?
There's the two blood vessels that go up the side of your junk, your penis. you know, the two blood vessels that go up the side that bring it to, you know, bring its erect stature, and you bust one of those veins, it like snap, you know, cuts the vein, and you know, and it was like $200,000 for the surgery and shit. And you would only hear that on the Bob Dean Show.
So, wow, yeah, $200,000 to get your $200,000 to get your dick fixed.
Yeah.
Wow,
and
man,
I think he still has issues with it.
Does insurance cover that?
I'm sure. I mean, it had something to do with it, but you know, but you know, and then just to come on and talk about it openly, you know.
And, they, and, you know, can you imagine going in there and like the insurance? They're like, well, you know, breaking your dick's not covered on this. Like we don't cover that because that's
we
like
don't do dental, and we don't do prosthetic penises.
It's like, was that a pre-existing condition or like what are we? Well,
I actually know another girl, another couple that did the same thing like 30 years ago, and I thought it was so funny because you know I'm like broke the dick, but I just bruised it or whatever. But in fact, you know, it was extremely painful. And, you know, it took a lot to get it back to even close to where, you know.
Is it got like a dog leg now? Or
I can't remember what he said about it. I'll have to ask him. I'm sure he'll show me. He'll be like, well, check it out.
The girlfriend likes it, but.
Yeah, it's a whole new sensation. It's a whole new sensation, baby.
He fell in love with him all over again.
I'm trying to.
So I didn't know. That should be like a public service announcement for guys because I didn't know you could actually break the dick.
Seriously. I mean, it should be a public service. It should, you know, because I, hold on. looked at it as. As an informative episode, you know, people should learn. Don't get high and drunk and ride on top without a seatbelt or something.
Yeah, right? Like training wheels or something. So, but so is there a medical term for it? Because I'm sure the doctor didn't say this is the worst case of broken dick I've ever seen. Like, I mean, there has to be. he looked it up in the medical in the physician's book, and it's like broken dick. Broken we'll dick is right.
The next time you come on, I'll see if Sam can't help us edit a little piece of it. So you know, a little piece of it.
Hey, but well, maybe I'm gonna write an episode. That's gonna be. We can both write a joke for
hilarious.
for our act. You'll have a joke and I'll have a joke. I'm gonna be like, hey, we're in Jomtien. This is the gay street. I just want to make everyone aware that you can break your dick. Okay, it is possible.
It's a public service announcement from the Bob Dean and Show and Mike Sandoval. You want to explain,
ladies and gentlemen? This is Mike Sandoval for Broken Dick Syndrome. Hi, everyone.
Really, broken dick syndrome, it can happen to you. So please send your check to
the heartbreak of broken dick syndrome.
The heartbreak of broken dickositis. Looks like we only have a few more minutes. I wanted to say this before I forget. The LA Talk Radio studios that Sam has opened, you know, some time back are beautiful. Kathy St. George was in town, and Kathy and Dennis and I did an episode, and it's really comfortable, and it looks good, and, you know, it's just more fun to be together. So, Sam, I did speak to my rent-paying job employer, and it looks like I'm going to be in a position to where we can do more in the studio. You know, it's a little more time that I don't have to hustle to get from the Valley to Beverly Hills. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. And because you know how it is, Michael, doing it, you know, when you're sitting right there and you're looking, you know, and this is great because you're a million miles away. But, you know, it's more fun. There's somebody that's in town and we can do it together.
Absolutely. You know, hey, and listen, Bob, LA Talk Radio is such a great organization, a great service.
You're the owner and the director and he does everything. And he could, Sam, you know, I'm flattering you, you know, and I never throw around false flattery. He's a genuinely fine fellow. He cares about what he does. He cares about his talents, the people that have their shows. My picture's even up in the lobby, along with the other talent. You know, the radio.
So LA Talk Radio, and also the Bob Dean Show, and also Mike's Madhouse, and BKK1Radio.com. I think we should all work together, and we can cross promote. And you know, I will because. BKK1 Radio also has some other media, online media presence. BKK1 Radio is not the only platform. I would like to, you know, we could talk later, but we could work out where we're promoting each other. So I can be promoting LA Talk Radio and the Bob Dean Show on Mike's Madhouse.
And I'll be promoting you.
And on BKK1Radio.com, and you guys can promote BKK1 Radio, and we'll all work together, and we can all grow together.
Could we ever, could you ever do a show like we're doing now from, where we could see each other and, you know, while you're doing your show? Is that
yes.
a possibility or something you'd like to do?
Yes, because BKK1 Radio does have a podcast studio as well. It's actually the same. It's the podcast studio is the radio station. It's used for both.
Or I could just call in sometime. I wouldn't have to be a visual.
So I've been wanting to do a podcast on BKK1Radio.com, but I just haven't because I'm doing the radio show and doing other things. But I'm gearing up for that. And I would like you to have come on. You can be my first guest, Bob.
I love that.
On the Mike Sandoval show. On a BKK1 Radio, we'll do a podcast there, and when I get that all set up, I'll let you know, and we'll do something just like what we're doing with the Bob Dean Show, but it'll be the Mike Sandoval Show, whatever, and we'll work on that. Does that sound like a deal? And maybe we can host. Maybe we can host a show together.
Yeah, and that'd be swell.
You know, and then we can have somebody come on, and we can talk to them, and have a third guest on, right?
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like that's a great fucking idea. Pardon me. Oops. A great idea.
You know, we can promote it as being, you know, LA, Bangkok, you know, connecting around the world.
Well, that's what I do. You know, you are our Thailand correspondent.
The East West connection. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I do.
Yeah. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, let's work on that. I think we're about ready to wrap it up here, right, Sam? Got a couple more minutes. I want to say this too. Next week on the Bob Dean Show, yay! I'm real happy to announce. I'm going to try and get more into remembering to announce, but Leon Kaplan, who for 40 years was the motorman on KABC 790 KABC, and I'm really excited to talk to him. He did a show about cars and fixing cars and things like that.
What's his name?
Leon Kaplan.
Okay.
He was on 790 KABC for like 40 years. And he just, it was the Motorman podcast, 8 to 10 on Sundays. He has just recently retired, and I think he's just kind of I'm wishing he hadn't. He just seems like a great guy I can't wait to talk to him. And he's an old Southern guy. And you know who introduced me to him was Shel Talmay, who has been on the Bob Dean Show twice. And Shel Talmay is a graduate of Fairfax High School. He went to high school with Herb Alpert and Phil Spector.
Okay.
And Shel Talmay moved when he was like 24. He just packed it up and he moved to London. And he faked it till he made it in the record industry, and he became huge. He discovered the Kinks. He discovered the Who and, others. And he's been on my show twice, but he's the one that introduced me to Mr. Kaplan. And,
You're saying KABC 790 in LA.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up, my mother listened to that station when I was growing up.
AM Talk Radio. My mom did too.
AM Talk Radio, 790, Michael Jackson. And Who were the two guys? It was Bob and Ray, or I forget. But it was, I heard that all growing up, my whole, you know, from elementary school all the way through high school.
Sure, it's what you heard in the morning when you came down to have some breakfast, or
it's what I heard. Absolutely,
and mom's got it playing in the kitchen on one of those radios on the counter, right?
Yep, absolutely. And,
whatchamacallit? Who were the two guys, Mark and Brian, in the morning? Remember them?
On Mark and Brian.
You know, but
Paul Harvey. You remember Paul Harvey?
Oh my God, I love Paul Harvey. But Mark and Brian Phelps he was supposed to be on the show twice before COVID, because he's a big ball vivant in Beverly Hills, and that's where I score most of my, you know, a lot of the interesting folks. It's just from being a bartender in Beverly Hills.
I was gonna say, they come in, they have a drink, and you're like, hey, come on my show.
Or I've had people come up to me and go, hey, can I be on your show?
Yeah, well, then that's the compliment right there.
Oh, absolutely. My God, dude. Can I tell you one story? And then how much time do we have, Sam? A minute, 2 minutes? It's time. We got to go. I'll tell the story next time. Mike,
all right, Bob.
How's your daughter real quick? Good or bad? Everything good?
Everything's great, man. Thanks for asking. Yeah, she's doing great. And say hi to Dennis for me.
I will. We talk about you all the time. I miss you. Love you, pal. And thank you for joining us.
I miss you too, buddy. And, I miss you too. I can't wait. I can't wait for you guys to come out and I can show you around.
I hate text messaging. So let's hook up a FaceTime or whatever.
Okay, got to go.
Okay, thank you all for joining us today on the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Thank you, Michael Sandoval. Thank you, Sam Hansen. And have a great day.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.